Well, this is Emmanuel Foy off the wall. I'm in the streets of Vienna. I'm standing by the side of the interstate, I-35 to be exact, in Austin, Texas.
This week, coming to you from the streets of Beijing.
I'm on a plane heading to Malaysia, which is why this week the show will be coming to you from Germany.
Hello, this is Emmanuel. I'm here in São Paulo, Brazil.
Okay, we're still here in Stockholm.
Well, here we are. We're standing on the 37th floor, staring out the window in Pyongyang, North Korea.
Well, I seem to have made it to San Marino.
I'm in Singapore this week.
I am standing right now in the tiny city-state of Vatican City.
Well, I'm out of Singapore now, and I'm back in Malaysia.
I've made it to Rome. Not much to see here as far as I can see. Doesn't look like a very historical place or anything like that, just another city.
We're standing in front of a bar outside. What do you guys think of this place?
You wouldn't get this in the States or anywhere else, I don't think, in the world. It's quite uniquely German.
So what's weird about this is that we're standing in the middle of a city, and it's really, really dark, and there's all these people walking around at high speed, and it's very quiet.
Apologies, I forgot to turn the knob up, and you might have heard, not the beginning of the show, you might have heard silence for a few seconds. I'm sorry. It's just, can't go back in time, you can't fix it. It's kind of strange, but that's just the way it goes. I'm a little bit out of it. It's been a rough last few days, and it's quite a start to 2007, isn't it?
Your brain is working a lot to adapt yourself to the different time zones.
It's working too much, yeah, because not only the time zones, but just the different cultures and food.
This is the telephone standby message for Tuesday, February 20th, 2007. For reporting for jury duty, please fill out Part A of your juror summons.
Does this person sound enthusiastic or what?
All questions on the back, sign it, and enter your social security number.
You love your job, don't you?
On the front. Juror C0226 through C0300 inclusive. Report tomorrow, Wednesday, February 21st at 9:30 a.m.
Okay. Well, that kind of messes me up tonight, doesn't it? Gotta be at the... Oh, boy. 9:30 in the morning. How am I going to be up at 9:30 in the morning? I woke up today at something like 3.
I kind of get tired of every time push comes to shove, we get involved in gay marriage.
I know, or flag burning.
We get in a big huff puff, and then the next thing you know,
mm-hmm.
George Bush is president.
Yeah, it's really kind of crazy. Hey, I've got some bumper stickers here someone has passed along to me from the Peace Resource Project. Tell me if you think any of these are something you would put on your car. Wake up and smell the fascism with a cup of coffee and an upside-down American flag. What do you think?
Oh, that would be a tough one.
Or how about
get rear-ended.
I'm here in Brazil, which it's currently October. And October for you is spring, correct?
Yes, it is spring.
All right, and for us, back in New York, October is fall.
Yes, it is fall.
Now, normally, São Paulo is, I believe, 2 hours ahead of New York in that time zone. Now, you guys have just switched to daylight savings time, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so we are still in daylight savings time in New York. So we will be switching from daylight savings time, I think, sometime in November this year. Now, when that happens, what will the time zone difference be?
It'll be 3 hours.
So you'll be 3 hours ahead of us starting in November. Now, we will be switching back in March, I believe, to daylight savings time, and then it'll be 2 hours again?
Yes, and a week later is going to be an hour.
A week later, it'll be 1 hour?
Yes.
Okay, this is where I get lost. Why?
I can't explain that. I don't know. Well, the answer is I don't know which one is the correct time zone. Like, I don't remember how many hours ahead Brazil is from Eastern time, U.S., because of all those daylight savings. I think in theory 1 hour is or 2 hours is the correct one, but I cannot explain because it's daylight savings here now, and it's not in the U.S., or it is now. I don't remember.
All right, let's try to figure this out.
Like, coming over to Germany, going through the cities and stuff like that, you just feel that you're not being as publicly watched and analysed as much as you do when you're walking around London. I mean, when I'm walking around London, I feel like a statistic. But as I said, I haven't known anything else. So walking around a European city, which is slightly less covered, you just feel a bit more like you have more freedom, really.
Every time somebody hits a baseball over a fence, they're going to say, oh, Jesus was watching out for me. I want to thank God personally for helping me win that ball game, and we're going to go on and with God's help. And you have to wonder, does that mean that God is against the other guy? They're against the other team?
Within about 5 to 10 minutes of eating an entire slice of jackfruit, I noticed a very strange tingling sensation in the back of my throat, which turned into a burning sensation, which never really became uncomfortable until it started itching. And it was in a place that you can't quite reach to scratch.
The back of your throat.
The back of your throat. And it wasn't the kind of itching that makes you cough or sneeze. It's like an itching, burning feeling. And it just kept getting worse and worse until it sort of spread into my sinuses and up into my ears. And I completely lost all sense of balance for maybe the next 15 or 20 minutes, which I didn't actually fall down, but it was very interesting walking around the train station with no balance.
All right, so that's what I'm going to try to do now. I'm going to walk over to the fruit stand, and I'm going to actually take some of this stuff and see if it happens to me as well.
Dude, I'm for killing Nazis. Sorry, I'm for killing Nazis.
I think they've pretty much been quelled.
What?
The Nazis. I think they're pretty much, I think it's over.
I got to say, I enjoy doing Off the Hook a lot more than I enjoy doing Off the Wall. Because, I mean, Off the Wall, all seriousness aside, is like, it's something that, it's like getting your toenails pulled out, you know, after having acid poured over them.
Wow, really?
It's sort of like that. I mean, I haven't done both of those at the same time, but I have done both of those individually. And, yeah, that sort of reminds me of what it's like to do Off the Wall. And certainly from a listener point of view, I know it's something like that as well.
Sounds like you've been doing this for too long.
Yeah, that's what a lot of listeners say.
Von dir, Samba. Ganz alleine tanze Samba, so wie ich dir. Denn bei Samba denk ich, du bist da bei mir. Blauer Montag, warum musste dieser Sonntag enden? Warum gehst du fort zu einer Fremden? Und mir bleibt nur die Samba.
This is the kind of world we are living in our country right now, where we actually think, a lot of us actually think, that professors need to engage in shootouts to prevent their students from being picked off by snipers or crazed killers. And yeah, they're willing to just go about their lives saying, yeah, this is what you got to do. It's the only way to survive. We all have to be armed. We all have to be ready to engage in a massive shootout any time. It's called being prepared. I call it being insane. My God, what has happened to this country where we actually have to think along these lines?
Cero, cero, uno, dos,
siete,
nueve, cero, ocho,
siete,
cinco, ocho, ocho.
We're on the eve of the new plan. Yeah, the new plan. There's a new plan in the works. It's being talked about in the back rooms of Washington, and George is staying up late at night to write in the final details. But I understand he still needs help. And he welcomes ideas and suggestions. And, of course, the phone number down there at the White House, 202-456-1414. Give that a call if you have a suggestion for the president to include in the new plan on how to get our asses out of Iraq.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional institution and may be recorded or monitored.
Okay, I just made $20. Good. I made a bet before the show that I could rant and rave about Paris Hilton for 10 minutes on my own. And I did. I did. And now let's move on.
When I was a teenager, I actually put a pipe bomb in my school that went up. I'm older now, but I think I could kind of comment about a kid who kind of was... didn't do too well in high school.
So, we're standing here in the middle of a traffic circle, With Nick Farr, you're the head of the Hacker Foundation?
Treasurer of the Hacker Foundation.
Had a couple of beers. Treasurer of the Hacker Foundation. We're here in São Paulo, in Brazil. And actually, when I say we're in the middle of a traffic circle, we are standing in the middle of the street. There are all these cars coming every direction around us. And, Nick, you didn't want to go. We had to drag you out here.
Yeah, I'm still a little fearful of my life right here, especially there's cops right there, dude.
He should have been impeached, that's all I could tell you.
It's not too late. It's not too late to impeach him, to put him on trial, to do all sorts of things. I really think people should be held accountable for what they do.
And the founding fathers wanted impeachment during these kind of times because they knew people would get out of hand. But we're looking at it in the opposite direction now.
After we switch to daylight savings time, then you come off daylight savings time, correct?
Yes.
So you go back to normal time, which you're not in right now. So that means that you lose an hour after we gain an hour. So if we gain an hour, yeah.
See, I had this conversation 2 days ago with somebody, and I couldn't figure this out.
I don't understand. This Prophet Muhammad, I mean, the guy can take care of himself. I mean, if he were still alive. But his memory, you can insult all kinds of superhuman creatures. Superman, for instance, Batman, Spider-Man, you can insult them. In our culture, you can insult these characters. Yet usually they kill you in the end. But they're the ones doing it.
Well, as soon as we get stopped, a guy in the back seat opens the door and he takes off running. And, nothing's really done about that. They ask about his identity and nobody seems to know anything about him. All they know is his nickname and, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they stop me and they're like, you almost hit me there. And they tell me that they smell like drugs have been smoked in the car, and that was completely bogus. I mean, that was just complete nonsense. Anyway, they tell me that they want to search my car, and, I ask them, I was like, well, if I tell you no, you're just going to, tell me that you have probable cause and do it anyway, and it's just going to take more time, so, go for it.
Well, I mean, that's what they'll use, the smell. They'll say the smell is probable cause, so then that gives us the right to search. Okay.
So, I just said, go ahead. So we start searching the car, and, and the searches forever. And in the back seat, he finds a baggie with some kind of residue on it, just shoved in the back passenger seat. And next thing I know, I'm being interrogated, and, very intimidating, too. It was very scary. I don't scare easily. And that was very, very, it was a very scary thing.
Some very sad news for us here at WUSB. We've lost one of our own. This happened last week. Those of you familiar with us over the years since 1977 when we went on the air might be familiar with the voice of Jim Ross, who did the Back Porch Bluegrass program. And Jim Ross passed away last week here on Long Island. Hadn't been on the air for a couple of years, but anyone who was part of the station, certainly throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s, would have known his voice, would have known his demeanor, his style, his presence, because it was there. He was one of those people you just didn't forget. And as somebody who was new to this station way back, he was definitely one of those people that you took note of.
This is Jim Ross, host of the Bluegrass Show here at WUSB, inviting you to step out on the back porch with me each Wednesday night at 6:30. We'll listen to some of the best. Hey, we'll listen to some of the best bluegrass music anywhere. Hey, sit down. Along with some old time fiddle bands, some western swing, bluegrass. Get out of here. Hey, sit down. Bluegrass news. So join me and my pal every Wednesday night at. Every Wednesday at 6:30 in the p.m. for Back Porch Bluegrass on 90.1 FM Stony Brook.
I guess the way that we've been programmed to feel about North Korea is that it's a hostile place. And, in fact, what we found is that it's very much the opposite of that. We look very strange. We look very bizarre to these people as Westerners. But we've been welcomed with open arms everywhere we've gone. And not just by the official people, but by the people on the street, too. And, yes, you do see the people on the street. You do get to talk to them. You do get to walk up to them. I was led to believe that everything would be so completely controlled and you wouldn't be able to to participate in any way with any kind of a conversation with a real person. And that just is not the case. We were able to walk up to people, and we walked through a park, and we were invited to a picnic from these people who just happened to be singing songs and celebrating Kim Il-sung's birthday on April 15th. And it was just an incredible experience, just sharing that moment with those people, those total strangers we just happened upon by walking down a particular path.
It seems very bizarre to us, I think, that when we came, it was night, you know, it wasn't late, but it was dark. Yet there were lots of people on the pavement, lots of people walking, lots of people on bikes. Now, that seems bizarre just because we're not used to seeing, you know, in the US you're not used to seeing pavements. In general, you're not used to seeing lots of people on the pavement. If you imagine they're all in cars, then we wouldn't bat an eyelid. It would just be totally normal. So I think there's a normal amount of people doing a normal amount of things. It's just that here they do walk, they walk and they take the bicycle, and you know, sometimes they'll take the tram. But they just get on with their lives, and there are a normal amount of people for a city this size.
hear it now, is a speaking bus. I don't know what exactly they're saying, but every time these buses go by, you hear a voice like that. They could be going by at 40 miles an hour, and they're still speaking. I'm not sure, since I haven't been on a bus, kind of afraid, actually. I'm not sure if they're speaking to the passengers or if they're speaking to the people on the street, but these things are always talking as they're driving by.
Time for us to go out on an appropriate note, it being New Year's. No, this isn't what I wanted. No, stop that, stop that. Ugh, that sounds like a bunch of screaming cats in a plastic bag or something. No, that's not what I wanted. I picked the wrong track. No, something appropriate for New Year's. Yeah, this is better. I'm sorry about that. Ooh, it's a fever. We'll be back again next week. Our email address, otw@2600.com. Keep those cards and letters coming in, and stay happy for 2007. We'll see you next week. The feds have sent me a juror request form literally a few weeks after the county juror thing ended. Now they're interested in me as being a federal juror, which is going to be their worst mistake ever. But they sent me this form that requires that I fill it out with a number 2 pencil. Do you know how hard it is to find a pencil? I found 2 pencils in my house, and each of them was not sharpened. I don't have a pencil sharpener either. I don't want to go out and buy 20 pencils just to fill out one stupid form. I was looking everywhere. Everywhere. I could not find a pencil to save my life. Nobody has them anymore. But here at USB, lying on the table is a pencil. Thank God. I mean, yeah, we have old, decrepit machinery, but we also have old, decrepit pencils and things lying around from 20 years ago. And what I'm going to do as soon as I get off the air here is fill out this juror form so that I don't get hauled off to whatever you get hauled off to if you don't fill out those forms.
I think this is a Dutch group in there. They built a pond, and they're growing light-emitting algae by using sound and light.
They're actually growing this algae as we speak.
You can actually see it emitting light.
Sure. Hopefully this won't be an experiment that gets out of control. And then over there...
Over there's the Austrians with the potato gun. They seem to be shooting glow sticks up in the air now.
Austrians shooting potato guns at a building. It's amazing how these things develop. I'd like to fire that thing.
And then over there we have the Italians playing human chess.
Have a try with your rhythm.
With my vodka.
Give your sound.
I didn't touch you. What do you want?
Go ahead.
Come on.
Where's the vodka?
Give your sound here. More energy. More energy.
And the other reason I was calling was, you mentioned you wondered how you can intimidate 200 people?
Yeah, I mean directly. You know, you walk into a bar and everybody clears a space for you. I'd like to know that.
They just think that we're evil people who go and steal people's laptops, which...
You say hacker to a person anywhere in the world, basically, and they're going to think evil person that's going to go in and hack something. And we haven't done a good job as hackers in persuading the public that that's not the case. As much as we try, it's not happening because the media are still portraying us as evil hackers.
The super cautious car in front of me, of course, is now going backwards, and that's definitely not a good thing at all. Yeah, you're going to need to go the other direction for me to go in the other direction. Oh, this is bad. You see, the irony is, and there's an SUV in front of me, too, that can't make it up the hill. I can make it up the hill. I have no trouble doing this. I don't understand what the problem is. I don't even have snow tires. And yet somehow I can maneuver this car just fine. Even though it's 14 years old, it's not a problem getting up an icy hill. But you guys, with your big, massive vehicles, can't... Okay, I'm going to just go around you. It's a little icy, but you steer around it, you know? You steer around it and... Okay, you know, now you're just kicking snow up at me as you spin. That's just not right. That's just not... If you get stuck, that's fine, but you don't kick snow up at the car in back of you. That's disrespectful. Disrespectful, I'm not going to tolerate it. right. He's going sideways. This car in front of me is going sideways now up a hill. It's kind of comical to watch. I'm sure he's not laughing, but I'm having a good time watching this. And I'm not sliding at all. I'm just moving at a steady rate.
I hope you're joining me in celebrating our glorious victory over Somalia.
Oh, yeah. You know, I forgot to even mention that. We attacked another country today. Let's add that to the list, Somalia. Now, it's great how this is being reported. Look at the headline on CNN, U.S. strikes al-Qaeda in Somalia. Well, that's great. What would the headline be if China decides to bomb Brooklyn to get a crime family? China attacks Gambeses in Brooklyn. Come on, we're invading another country again.
And with being a gun advocate, yeah, I do understand that one gun could finally kill a lot of people, but at the same time, you couldn't pick and choose. But if you got in a vehicle, a car, at a particular age, you could run over people just as fast. What about chemical warfare? You know, we look at terrorism today, and a kid can easily, obviously, yeah, it takes them a little more time, but if a kid wants to look into chemicals, he can easily take out a bunch of kids. It doesn't have to be a gun. That's what I'm trying to say.
You see, this is the first time I realized that this is what happens. I didn't even think about daylight savings time going in reverse down here.
Yeah. So the thing is, let's try to figure this out. So this is wrong. So when Brazil gets out of daylight savings, that's correct. That's when the U.S., before the U.S. gets into daylight savings. So that's the correct thing, right? That's going to be for about a week or 2 weeks in February, March kind of time frame. So that would be, we get out here, it turns to 2 hours again, and then, so that's the correct one. Then when the U.S. goes to daylight savings, it becomes 3 hours, and that's wrong. No.
That is the sound of a whippoorwill, and that's another bird that apparently is disappearing as well.
I think we can go now. There are people crossing, but that by no means indicates that it's safe. So let's give it a shot. Okay, there's a car coming right at me, so let me get out of the way quickly. See, here's the deal. This is what's different about the streets of Beijing. You may be walking across the street. You may even have a green light. I got to stop now. There's a car coming. I just have to come to a full stop because there's multiple cars coming. In fact, I even have to back up now because there's three cars coming abreast of each other. You'd never have to do this in New York. All right, I'm going to try and cut across now. See, the thing is, even though you have the green light, the cars can come and make a right turn even though they have a red light. Then they can do it without stopping. And they have the right of way, and there's nothing you can do about it. Right now I'm looking out, it seems like complete mayhem. People are walking every which way, bicyclists are going wherever they feel like, cars are just sort of hurtling through the crowds, making right turns without stopping while people scatter like I just did. And of course, as you can hear, everybody is honking and beeping. Somebody running across the intersection right now. It's utter mayhem. There's no other word for it. But somehow it seems to be some kind of a controlled mayhem, because while there's plenty of emotion being poured into the car horns and bicycle bells and various other things, I never really see anybody getting particularly angry.
Beijing 时间 11点整
百年孙德 十年服务中国，森德暖气给您无限选择。北京人民广播电台文艺广播 FM 87.6 娱乐调频。
All right, and here I am in delay. I have to make sure though that it actually worked, because sometimes.
I hope so.
Sometimes it doesn't work. Okay, and it did work. And Red Hack, did you make it into delay okay?
I hope so.
All right. Well, something's wrong. There's an alarm going off. You answered me before I asked the question. How is that possible? Wait, you hear that?
Say something. Hi.
Oh, dear, there's an alarm going off in the station somewhere. Okay. Say something.
Hi. I'm going to come back.
Okay, you see, you said that before I asked you to say it. This is, oh boy. Okay, I'm going to have to come back. I'm going to come back and get you. I'm sorry, this is, ugh.
I just don't agree with you comparing Uzis to shotguns. You know, the kid in Virginia, yeah, that was an assault weapon. You know, to me, a shotgun, you're not going to go into a school with just a regular shotgun you buy at Walmart and kill everybody.
No, that's a good point. The shotgun tends to be used on people killing their family slowly, but...
No, you're absolutely right, because that's available in the house.
And while I was driving around, I decided to do something else that I also like to do when I go to a different city, and that's scope out the FM radio band. AM radio band, too, but mostly the FM radio band. And it wasn't more than a... Whoa, that was close. It wasn't more than a couple of minutes before... I discovered this station that was just simply incredible.
KPWR, who's the best radio station in town? KPWR, who plays all the groovy sounds? KPWR, who will make your ass get down? KPWR, looking for knowledge, why you...
And I just happened to be mentioning to some friendly-looking people that I discovered this amazing radio station that seems to be broadcasting without a license, and I'd sure like to see it. And it turns out I was speaking to one of the organizers when I said that. And so he arranged for me to drive down some mysterious streets, apparently in a driving rainstorm, with lightning, too. It's just a big flash of lightning. And meet up with the people or go to the place. In fact, somebody else who was really drunk gave me the combination to the lock that goes into the studio building. I got to say, I feel pretty privileged to have that information. So what I'm doing now is I'm driving over there at great personal risk and flash flooding everything. It's amazing. So what are some of the technical problems you guys have? Are microphones left on or
this
things
CD
don't...
This CD player is really catchy.
CD player?
I've
never seen a CD player like that.
It's weird. That one...
What is that, from East Germany or something? It's really...
Yeah.
The buttons are so big.
Well, this is a CD player, and I love this thing.
That one's awesome.
Where do you find these things? This is it's got a little touch tone pad on the top.
You can, in fact, scratch your CDs with this.
Oh, that's awesome.
Or the equivalent.
Yeah.
Hey, you feel that? The turbulence is back.
Okay, turbulence has kicked in. We have less than a minute in this hour. So, what are you feeling right now with the turbulence?
Extreme distress, as you can tell by the sound of my voice.
This is the tension. This is the tension, the stress we've been looking for. Now people are going to look for hour six and wonder what happened. It's hour six. We're somewhere over India. The turbulence has let up a little bit. I've had a beer, which is very nice.
In Italy we have 300 different sort of cheese. That enough, and we are proud of this. Some of them are becoming illegal.
Illegal cheese?
Yeah, they are becoming illegal cheese. For instance, because for tradition and the specific flavor is done because they are held in a cave, but this is not clean for the EEC, and so the law say we forbid you to place cheese within bacteria. But they are the bacteria that make it good.
My bag in the... Are you kidding me? You left your bag in the cab?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right. Then this is a crisis.
Has anyone got a phone?
I have a phone, but do you know who to call?
Well, the happy place.
Here's the phone.
Know the number.
As he runs around the corner, he just ran off with my phone. He's going to leave my phone someplace. Where are you running to? How are you going to recognize them anyway? They all look the same. Not Germans, the cabs.
It's good that they want reunification. I believe they do.
Uh-huh.
But I can't possibly begin to imagine what would happen if, you know, tomorrow the gates were opened. I mean...
I can tell you.
Essentially, it's not possible. But even if there wasn't confrontation because of that, the clash of cultures, you know, basically, it would certainly spoil this... part of the peninsula.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know, it is pretty much very difficult to work out what would happen.
There'd be a lot of confusion because The cultures are just so incredibly different. I've grown apart so much. I mean, obviously it would be good for people to be able to reunite and things like that, and something both sides want, but with different rules applied. But, yeah, I mean, you have a completely different way of life up here than you do down in the South, and you can't just mix that and expect it to, you know, turn into something nice. Mm. It's going to be a lot of culture shock. This is the definition of culture shock right here. And, yeah, I've said this to many people. If I ever came to this place, it's like going to another planet. And being here now, yeah, this is like another planet. This is so totally different, so totally alien. I can't imagine going anywhere else on this planet and feeling this way. I really can't.
No, I agree.
평양 방송입니다. 12시를 알려드리겠습니다.
So now you say you're probably going to move to Finland, live in Finland after this. What particular reason leads you to that?
I'd like to try to live somewhere else for a while. Also, then I'd be in Europe. You know, if I want to go on vacations, everything would be really close.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to see some more of the world. I've spent my life in New York. And
if you join the U.S. Army, you would see more of the world. You'd be going all over the place. Who knows where we're going to invade next? Iran is beautiful this time of year.
This is what always happens to me. I don't know if there's a word for it, but I think there should be a word for it. When a train shows up on every track but yours, that always happens to me. Every time I'm at a subway station, there's four tracks, and all the other tracks get trains, and I don't get crap.
When I first thought of coming to Singapore this year as an extension to my trip to Malaysia, I was a little bit nervous because I'd heard so many things about this place. And having been to North Korea the same year,
I don't know. I just thought maybe it would be a little bit too much. But I have to say, after getting here, I've been somewhat surprised, especially after just being to London a few weeks ago. The contrast is rather astounding. I don't see nearly as many cameras or surveillance or police. There's a lot of people milling about in a city that's very prosperous, it seems. Yes, there are rules. There are lots of rules, in fact. And if you look around, you'll see all sorts of signs telling you things that you shouldn't do, and the penalty if you do them, which once you understand it, it's really not so difficult to get along. Basically, think of this as a really big condominium.
Good evening. You're on the radio.
I had a comment about, well, at my school we had something called lockdowns, which are kind of like, they remind me of how in the 60s people hid it under the desk when they thought there was going to be a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, duck and cover, that's what that was called. But lockdown used to be a word that was only used in prisons, and now everybody in school knows what a lockdown is.
So you know about it?
Oh, we just didn't have it when I went to school because lockdowns were for prisons. Now schools are taking that one step closer to being like prisons. Have you ever had a lockdown in your school?
Yeah, we just had one like 2 weeks ago, and I was talking with my economics teacher I'm really close with, and he said that he was like under the impression that, we need it because there might be a terrorist or a killer that comes into our school, and it's dangerous not to have one. And I think it's just like, it's a waste of class time because it takes like 10 minutes of our time. We've already had like 4 this year, but just state mandate.
You've had 4 lockdowns this year?
Yeah.
You know, now in school, it's, you know, if a kid by the time he's 5, if he's a little different, you know, give him some drugs, you know. If by the time he's 10, give him more drugs, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the parents have kind of passed the bucks onto the schools. And I just don't think that, you know, that's just not fair. You know what I mean?
So, Felix, you came here from Berlin yesterday, and you're leaving to go back to Berlin today.
Yep.
Short trip.
No, it's a long trip. It's a short time here.
That's what I meant. It's a short time here.
Come on, conspiracy people, call up so that we can argue about that. Can argue about how it wasn't really airplanes that crashed into the World Trade Center and how it was all set up by the government and various other nonsense like that. It's a silly theory. Now, I'm not saying don't ask questions and look for things that aren't right, because there are plenty of things that aren't right. But some of the conclusions I'm hearing, wow. I mean, it just takes away the emphasis on the things we should be emphasizing.
I'm walking past some shops right now, and each one of them has a little megaphone in front of it that is barking out. I don't know what this means.
But for God's sake, people, you gotta get over it. You gotta stop injecting religion into every single aspect of your lives. Saying prayers before you eat, saying prayers before you sleep, saying prayers while you sleep. In fact, that's probably the way you do it most of the time.
So today in Germany, a law went into effect that basically banned the possession or use of hacking tools. And that language specifically, hacking tools, is in the law. And basically, every organization that has anything to do with the government and hacking basically said, this is a really bad idea. But the government didn't listen, and they went ahead and they passed it, among a lot of other things. So we're at a demonstration with lots of people who are basically saying, we're all in possession of hacker tools, and we're not doing, and it's legal, and it shouldn't be illegal.
So we're about to see the concert of the Vienna Vegetable Orchestra, and this is a group of people who go around, they go out and they buy vegetables, and they turn them into instruments, really interesting instruments, flutes and, I guess, drums, and you say a synthesizer tonight?
Yeah. They have some kind of like apparatus. I don't know how it works, and it's called Bone and Zellergewebe or something like that. I think it's a wordplay with cell and zeller. That's some kind of, I don't even know what it is. It's some kind of vegetable.
look, I understand. I understand there are people out there who like religion, all right? I understand that. It's very appealing to many people. But you got to separate the rest of your life from it sometimes. You know, I like pretzels. I really do. Pretzels are great. But I don't inject them into every single conversation I have. I don't try and run a radio station based on pretzels. You know? I'm not trying to belittle that. I don't mean the little tiny pretzels. I mean the big ones, you know?
It's already... This is stressing the resources. We're stressing the people doing the networks, but also doing the cleanup and the garbage collection.
All right. Well, I'll continue the interview. You go to the porta potty. I'll go to the one next door. Oh, boy. All right, we're inside the porta potty now. Rob, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. But just don't do it on the air because that's not allowed. Because United States Radio, we have certain regulations. I should point out the first thing to do when you're in a porta potty, don't look down.
I don't hear you. I don't hear you.
Well, I'm just saying to the folks, it's actually, it doesn't smell too bad as long as you don't breathe in too much. But it's surprisingly all right. You just don't look down though, because if you look down at what's been left there, it's really hard to not think about that. Rob, so what was the next question I was going to ask? Are you planning on coming to the States anytime soon? Hello, Rob.
I might. I just was there last week.
Well, you were there last week. Why were you in the States last week?
I was there this Monday, actually, in Boston for the Electronic Voting Technology Conference.
Really? So this has been... You want
to
come out of the porta potty? We just got in. All right. I guess some people can stay in these things longer than others. So you were saying that you're in Boston.
Yes.
That's why it feels good to be sitting here tonight, when I could be someplace else. But I'm where I should be, at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday. And besides, I'm sure a lot of people have grown tired of all the fun they're having today anyway, and they're turning on the radio to sort of escape from the fun and get back to reality, and it's important that we be there when people do that. I know I've certainly tried to escape many times by turning on the radio. And, well, here we are. We're on the radio now, doing a normal show, here, live, at the radio station. So many other places, so many other stations on the dial, there aren't people there in the studio ever virtually. And here, it's important to say that, yes, people actually show up and fulfill their obligations and are live in the flesh. It just, I think it sounds better.
And here, it works. So everybody's happy, everybody drinks. There are some people drunk, do not bother the people. They simply go around chatting.
I was warned about coming to Italy because people here are kind of like anarchists.
All right. That's almost the end of our show here on this Oh, crap! It's election day, isn't it? I forgot today's election day. Oh, my God. I have to go out and vote.
Well, your conservatives are pretty much like our far leftists.
No. I would still say our conservatives are your Republicans. There are a couple of like inner twists between them. But
are you still debating the theory of evolution? Because we are.
No. But actually, we're not in Kansas.
And we also passed the 3,000 U.S. troops killed in Iraq milestone over the New Year's. It's really how much worse can this get?
Well, look at Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. I know.
it can get a lot worse.
Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe the people that were standing around the street and not really allied with one particular regime or another, but just simply were going about their day-to-day business? Or are you going to believe the people that are accused of murder and have to cover their asses? It's tough, isn't it? It's a tough call.
I think what you so eloquently said was basically that 2 hours is normal, because right now we're in daylight savings time and you're in daylight savings time.
Yeah.
So that's got to be normal.
Oh, that's
so
compensating. Yeah, that's what's happening. This is compensating. The right thing is both of the countries not being daylight savings. But
that's the right thing, right. And we could bring GMT into this if we wanted to, but that would just complicate things even further. But basically 2 hours should be the difference. And when we switch to daylight savings time and you don't, then it becomes
becomes 1 hour.
Okay, so that period would be in the spring? In the spring when you switch, in our spring, when we switch into daylight savings time and you switch out of daylight savings time, that period of time, I don't know how long it is, then there's 1 hour difference.
Yes.
All right, and then when you do, what happens next?
This country has been here, it claims to be the oldest republic in the world, founded, I believe, in the year 301. So that certainly makes it older than the States.
You have 60 seconds left on this call.
we had the very, very disturbing news about one of our co-hosts on Off the Hook, the familiar voice of Jim, who many of you know. He had suffered a massive stroke a few weeks ago, and when we talked last, he was in the ICU in a hospital in Brooklyn.
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, only a week or so ago, it was literally touch and go as to his survival.
Yes, it's another edition of SUVs in the News. If the strike is not settled soon, the Hollywood writers' strike is not settled soon, we're not going to be on next week because we'll have no material. Tell us something about this card. What kind of information is stored on it, and you are required to carry it at all times?
You have to produce it. I mean, if you get stopped by the police, you would need to produce some form of identification. Now, the interesting part of it is that, of course, it has all your personal details, like your date of birth and your name, address, and so on. But it also stores your religion.
Stores your religion?
Yeah, it does.
And hopefully our conferences will continue. I don't know if you heard about this. They want to tear down the Hotel Pennsylvania. Did you hear about this?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, my God, yeah. The people who own the property feel it would be better to put up a massive office tower with 5 trading floors, which is something that I don't think you even need in this day and age. Everybody does electronic trading, so I don't know what they need 5 trading floors for. But basically, they want to destroy the hotel that's been around since 1918 with all this history, all the big band concerts that have taken place there. They want to just destroy that and put up something that's convenient for executives so they don't have to take the subway downtown. And, of course, that would spell the end of the Hope conferences. So we're starting a campaign that's going to start slowly but surely. And if you want to be part of it, you can mail us at hotel@2600.com.
Is anyone being charged to come into the conference?
Being charged to come to the conference? I guess no.
It's a free conference.
Yes. Everything is for free.
So what we need to do, and what I think we should start doing right now, is questioning everybody. Everybody. You have a next-door neighbor? They have children? Prove it. Shouldn't be too hard. Knock on their door. I'm serious. After this program is finished, turn off the radio, go outside your house, go to your next-door neighbor, knock on their door, ask for documentation. Are these kids really yours? Come on, there must be paperwork. It should be fairly handy. And don't stop there. Don't stop there. Learn your neighbor's layout of their building, of their house. See if there's a hidden room someplace. See what's hidden up in the attic. Look in the basement. Go into the closets of the master bedroom. It's unbelievable the kinds of things you can hide. You can hide kids. You can hide people of all sorts. Maybe kidnap pets even. It's clear that we don't know enough about what's going on around us. We need to probe deeper. Now, you may be a child. You may be a child listening. Are you sure the people you're living with are actually your parents? Ask them. Ask them to prove it. Ask them to show you the paperwork that proves that you belong to them and not somebody else, some other place where they might be looking for you. Shouldn't be too hard unless you have something to hide.
You have 10 seconds left on this call.
You know, I'm sorry, we're going to have to stop it there because we're out of time, but this is a conversation. Let's take it up next week. Thanks, everybody, for calling in, and thanks for getting me all riled up about the death penalty, which I haven't gotten riled up about in the last few years.
Fast and the child is with the paper material. Well, that's it. You've reached the end of the program. This is Emmanuel, and I'm still on an airplane on my way to Malaysia.